Japan's Princess Ayako is the latest royal to leave the imperial family. On Monday, the 28-year-old married a commoner, Kei Moriya, at Tokyo's renowned Meiji Shrine. It's led to calls for changes to the imperial law of succession, which rules that only men can take the country's throne. The monarchy, for now, only has four male heirs to the throne remaining.
IBM announcing a $34 billion deal to buy Red Hat, a software firm specializing in open source and cloud computing. IBM for years installed mainframe servers on clients' premises, but it faces dwindling revenue as more and more firms are opting to store data on the cloud. IBM shares have lost almost a third of their value in the last 5 years, while Red Hat's stock has climbed 170% in the same period. The deal illustrating how older tech firms are using acquisitions to catch up with newer trends, gain scale, and fend off competition.
There's a new competitor trying to break into the global high-end smartphone market, and this one is coming from China. OnePlus, a five-year-old Chinese startup, making its U.S. debut Monday with the 6T. The launch coming despite a trade spat between Beijing and Washington that's straining relationships between two of the world's biggest trading partners. Earlier this year, U.S. government worries that China could insert technology into Chinese company phones to spy on Americans, pressured leading U.S. mobile phone carriers AT&T and Verizon to scrap development plans for a high-end phone with Huawei.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's October 30th. It's 5:10 in the morning. And this is The Opening Bell. Thanks for being here with us on our Tuesday edition of the program. Lots to cover this morning. First, Greg Trotter out of the gate this morning to talk about community agriculture in Illinois and across the country taking a hit these days. We will tell you why people are getting fewer consumers who are opting for a weekly box of vegetables. Hint, it has something to do with Amazon and other stores as well. So Greg will be up first this morning in just a few minutes. A little bit later in the program, Joshua Peck will be here, former Health and Human Services official, now the co-founder of Get America Covered. Open enrollment for health care in the United States is underway. Healthcare.gov, the Affordable Care Act. We will talk about open enrollment for that coming up in our second segment this morning at about 5:40 this morning. But first, let's begin on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk. Futures are pointing toward a flat open on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. The futures up just 0.25% this morning on the Dow, the same story on the S&P. And the NASDAQ just up a fraction, futures just up a fraction this morning. Looking around the globe, markets in Europe are generally lower, with the DAX and the CAC in Germany off nearly a third, and the FTSE in London up just a fraction. In Asia, markets are generally mixed as well. The Nikkei is going to end the day up about 307 points. That's good for 1.5%. And the Hang Seng is lower by about 1%, down 226 points. Oil is trading at $66.59 a barrel, which is off about 44 cents. Couple of stories before we begin this morning. Apple, you probably have an iPhone or maybe even an iPod. The new update to the operating system should be in your queue this morning. The iOS 12.1 includes some new features and also some new emojis. It comes as the same time, at the same time, that Apple is expected to announce new updated products today, including a new iPad Pro, MacBook Air, and other hardware upgrades. It's the second product event this month, and it's scheduled to get underway at about 9 a.m. Chicago time in Brooklyn. Also this morning, Bitcoin could be ecologically unsound. You may have heard this before, but now researchers at the University of Hawaii say the virtual currency is having a negative effect on global climate. They say the problem comes from the fact that cryptocurrency trading requires heavy hardware that uses a lot of electricity. The result, carbon dioxide emissions that are skyrocketing, could cause a catastrophic effect in the digital currency gains as it gains worldwide popularity. Even though Bitcoins count for only a small fraction of financial transactions, scientists say it's responsible for 69 million metric tons of CO2 alone last year. And Twitter may soon get rid of the like post, of the like button, the little heart that you hit when you like a tweet. Twitter CEO and co-founder Jack Dorsey says the social media platform is looking to get rid of the button as a way to improve the forum's debate. He says they want to ensure that Twitter is incentivizing healthy conversation. Twitter has not made a definite decision about the future. The social network has begun to focus on ways to counter site manipulation and Russian bot influence along those debate concerns. We begin front and center this morning. Community agriculture, community-supported agriculture programs in Illinois are in trouble. Why are fewer consumers opting for that weekly box of veggies? Greg Trotter is here this morning. He's a food industry reporter at the Chicago Tribune. Greg, good morning. Welcome to the program. First, I want to start by asking, you know, with the growing choices of organic vegetables that people have, it's clearly impacting community farmers across Illinois and the country, really. What have you found?
Yeah, that's right. So I discovered this in reporting for another story, actually. Kind of stumbled on this, that a lot of many local farmers in Illinois are saying that their sales directly to consumers have been down significantly in the past few years, through what's known as CSA, community supported agriculture. So that's where you pay, you know, a certain amount for a weekly box of produce from a farm. It was a popular form of getting fresh produce from the farm that's sort of fallen out of favor with many consumers, and also even just flattening out at farmers markets. So, you know, this is all sort of a function or in large part a function of just consumers just being bombarded with, you know, this huge amount of choices for everything from Amazon Fresh to imperfect produce, meal kits like Blue Apron. And also just a factor of, you know, traditional grocery retailers have really upped their game in produce in recent years, too. It's the same thing that pressured Whole Foods before Whole Foods was bought by Amazon. So the grocery stores have much more organic produce than they used to. And so a lot of consumers are just getting their produce there instead of directly from the farm.
And you've talked to a number of these farmers. Can you give us a sense of how significant the drop-off has been, and has it meant some of these farmers are no longer farming?
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult thing to gauge. There's not a lot of great data out there nationally or even in Illinois, though there's various entities that are working on that now. But just as one measure of decline, there's a group of CSA farmers in the Chicago that serve the Chicago area called Band of Farmers. And so at their peak membership, they had about 60 members, 60 farms that were selling produce through the CSA model into the Chicago area. And so they've seen about 14 of their farms no longer do CSAs. Six of them have closed altogether, just to give you some idea. As another sort of measure, Angelic Organics, which is one of the oldest, largest, and kind of most well-known organic CSA farms that serve Chicago. They're out in Caledonia in the Rockford area. So in 2015, they packed 2,300 boxes a week, and this year, it's going to shaping up to be closer to 1,700 boxes of produce a week. So that's a decline of about 26%. And so that's what a lot of farms are looking at. And so, yeah, they're having to change to survive. They, you know, have to change the business model. Some of them are trying to do more customization online because that's what a lot of customers want. That's, you know, that presents more costs, and it's not easy for farmers to do, but, you know, maybe they can charge a little bit more for it. And there's various kind of technology platforms that are now coming in to try to help farmers out. Other farmers are doing more wholesale business, so selling, kind of aggregating and selling into stores and restaurants, but that takes a fair amount of capital investment as well. So there's not a clear and easy solution. It sort of takes a combination approach, is what I've heard from people.
What you mentioned the technology part of this. What kind of technology might help solve this problem or make it better?
Yeah. So one sort of cool example of that is at the Green City Market, the very well-known farmers market here in Chicago. They recently, just this summer, launched an app that allows customers to, you can pre-order what you're going to buy. Through the app, you can see what vendors are there at a specific time, and you can actually place your orders. And so that's completely new. They say that, you know, Melissa Flynn, the executive director of Green City Market, said that so far more than 500 people have signed up for it. They feel like it's complementary to the farmers market experience, not contradictory. And so that's one example of technology. There's another platform called Harvey. It's a Pittsburgh-based online platform that helps, that works with farmers to customize their CSA boxes. It's kind of a marketing tool, so the farmers don't have to do all of that online. So Angelic Organics, the farm I mentioned earlier, they just recently signed up with this Harvey technology. So they're pretty bullish that their numbers are going to go back up this year as a result.
Do you think that if consumers, I wonder if consumers are aware of the impact that they're having on some of these small farms, and maybe perhaps would change their buying habits if they knew about how significant the impact was? Because I think most people know that a good deal of the produce we see in those stores comes, at least the big stores, comes from places like Mexico and California and Florida. Do you think that consumers might be able to turn this around if they become aware of it?
It's a really good question. I don't know. I mean, it's almost like you sort of have to pick what's really important to you. There's local organic farms that you can support by buying from them directly through the CSAs or the farmers markets. If it's just important to you that it's organic, you can get that at the store. You know, if your issue is reducing food waste on the national scale, maybe something like imperfect produce is more for you. But, you know, if consumers want to see more local, more food grown locally here in Illinois instead of just corn and soybeans, then, you know, that's the decision they're going to have to make and support with their purchases.
I'm curious if traditional organizations like USDA or the Farm Bureau, Illinois Farm Bureau, are involved with trying to help save some of these small farm operations.
Yeah, they are. They're working with them. Definitely, you know, Illinois Farm Bureau does have a local food program. I think the bulk of their work has more to do with the commodity farms, but they do have a local food program that that is working with farmers on solutions that'll work for them. And it's some of the things that we were talking about. Maybe it's customization or aggregation or partnering with other farms. The Prairie Earth Farm, at a farm in downstate Atlanta, Illinois, they have a new hub down there. I think that was partly funded by grant money. And so they're having other farms bring their produce there. And then it's all trucked up to Chicago and sold through, Irv and Shelley's Fresh Picks, which is a food hub here in the Chicago area. So that's one example of farms sort of trying to band together to solve the problem.
I know in the story you write about one of the solutions also being maybe diversifying what's being grown. What would that actually look like?
Yeah, some farms, like going more into meat, for example, different kinds of meat or eggs or different kind of crops that that are more desired by restaurants. You know, kale has been very trendy. So what's the next thing once kale is no longer the trendiest green out there? You know, just sort of being on the cutting edge of those food trends and trying to meet the demand, I think, is the idea there.
Are the farmers you talk to, are they optimistic about some of this stuff moving forward, or are they pessimistic?
Those that I've talked to, it's sort of a mix. They definitely believe in what they're doing. They believe in the importance of it. You know, I think a lot of the farmers sort of drawn to this type of farming in Illinois, where it's, you know, obviously a hard thing to do, you know, given our climate here. There's a kind of mission feeling to it, you know, like they're doing this, they're not just in it to make a buck. They're really in this because they believe in it, and they're trying to do this ecologically sustainable practice. And so they believe in it, but I think they're frustrated and they're trying to figure it out, and it's sort of a moving target for some of them. But I think there is some optimism in some of the technology that's coming on board now. But, you know, I mean, some farms are just trying to, like Midnight Sun Farm in Capron, this is their last season for doing the CSA. And so they're sort of looking at all these different options. What are they going to do next? I think it can be a little overwhelming. But those that are still in it, you know, they believe in the significance of it. It's just, okay, well, how to survive and how to meet consumer demand.
Greg, thanks for being with us this morning. Thanks for sharing your reporting. We appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Greg Trotter is a food industry reporter at the Chicago Tribune. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke, senior editor at Chicago Inno, with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, presented by the 1871 Momentum Awards. Raising venture capital is hard, and it's especially difficult for Latinx women, according to a new report. The report showed that Hispanic women-led startups raised less than 1% of the over $400 billion of venture capital given to startups across the country since 2009. In Illinois alone, the study found only one female Hispanic founder had raised capital. And we're down to the wire on Amazon's HQ2 search. Have a guess which city will land the coveted second headquarters? Well, the Dallas Business Journal has a March Madness-style bracket competition where you can see how others feel about HQ2's potential landing spot. Chicago is among the crowd favorites as the most likely Midwest destination. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning again, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us today on our Tuesday edition of The Opening Bell. Just a couple of days away now for sign-up starting for health coverage in the United States at healthcare.gov. November 1st is when it all begins. We thought we'd bring in Joshua Peck this morning, who is co-founder of Get America Covered, to talk more about this. And get us all ready. Joshua, good morning. Welcome to The Opening Bell.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Death of Affordable Care Act was greatly exaggerated, wasn't it? Here we are talking about it another year. Why don't we start there with the health of government health?
It sure was. The marketplace has proved far more resilient, I think, than anyone expected. And I think a lot of that has to do with the incredible demand for health coverage today.
Talk a little bit about that. Do you have any data or numbers? I know in some places the sign-up is stronger than ever.
That's right. You know, this open enrollment starts on November 1st, runs through December 15th. So we don't know, you know, what sign-ups are going to look like this year yet. But last year, we saw a lot of people predicted that open enrollment would take a really big hit. And what we saw was people signing up at levels fairly similar to the previous year. But as we go into this year, we'll once again have to see how the efforts of this administration to undermine open enrollment, how they're going to sort of play out versus the demand for people signing up.
You have a lot of history where this is concerned. Your old job was at the Department of Health and Human Services, I believe, where you were sort of in charge of enrollment and retention of healthcare.gov consumers. So you have a good eye on what exactly has been done to try to undermine this. Can you give us a sense of all of the different things that have happened to try to kill the Affordable Care Act, and how does that make your job much more difficult?
You bet. You know, when I was at Health and Human Services, I oversaw enrollment and retention. And, you know, it's really the job of Health and Human Services to make that happen. What we saw once we left were basically a very long list of things that you know, in our view, have really hurt the enrollment efforts. First, the administration cut outreach by 90%. They also cut Navigator funding. This is local help people can get to enroll. They cut that budget up until this point about 80%. In addition to that, they've made lots of policy changes that make it harder for people to get coverage that is affordable. The good news is that the marketplace was designed to keep coverage affordable, and a lot of the changes that have occurred have been the Affordable Care Act has actually sort of lived on to protect consumers from higher prices. As a result, this year we actually saw a decrease in prices, and that's, I think, something that you know, it hasn't been in the narrative for quite a while.
Joshua, I know I heard recently, and then we'll get on to some tips here to help people with sign-up, but I think some in Congress, Republicans especially, particularly, have made no bones about hiding that they're going to try to take another run at abolishing the Affordable Care Act in the lame duck session before the new Congress is sworn in. How would that impact the conversation that we're about to have here?
Well, you know, it's hard for me to imagine them taking that up, just sort of given the conversation about healthcare in this country. You know, I think pre-existing conditions right now, you know, there's incredibly strong support among the public, and we certainly hear Republican leaders talking about their support for pre-existing conditions. The Affordable Care Act is the reason pre-existing conditions, you know, that a person cannot be denied because of a pre-existing condition. That is the law of the land today. So anyone who's talking about wanting to protect pre-existing conditions is going to need to leave the Affordable Care Act in place. Otherwise, they are the enemy of pre-existing conditions.
Let's talk about what consumers should know, the most important thing, starting November 1st, moving forward. What would be your first piece of advice?
Well, the first thing, you know, for people who either have marketplace coverage or who are uninsured, the number one thing I can do is recommend that they go to healthcare.gov and check out the plans that are available. You know, if you don't have coverage, November 1st to December 15th is really your only chance to sign up for 2019 coverage. Most people who do have coverage will benefit from going to healthcare.gov by shopping to see what plans are available for them this year. Most of them will be able to save money. So the best thing to do is to go and shop and see what's available. I think, you know, the second thing is really when you are shopping, you'll see you'll see the cost of plans that you can afford. And the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize is that 8 out of 10 people who shop at healthcare.gov can find plans for $75 or less. That's not because these plans are really cheap. In fact, many of them are hundreds of dollars a month. But because 8 out of 10 people receive financial help, that financial help makes it so that most people can find a plan for $75 or less. And the only way you can figure that out is if you go and apply at healthcare.gov and see what you qualify for.
And there are millions of people, too, that could qualify for a plan for $0.
That's true. Last year, over 4.5 million people who didn't have coverage qualified for a plan with a $0 monthly premium. And that is, it's a pretty extraordinary deal. Again, these are plans that normally cost hundreds of dollars.
Joshua, I know people like to procrastinate, but that's probably not something that they should do here. I remember maybe not last year, but perhaps the year before, where there were the website had issues. You want to get in before any potential rush or heavy traffic keeps you from getting in there, right?
That's right. I mean, you know, signing up is these days relatively simple and straightforward. But you know, if you end up missing a piece of information or wanting to talk to somebody before you sign up, that's, I think, one of the best reasons to sign up early, in my opinion. It just gives you that little bit of extra time to answer that question that you're not expecting.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing that people don't realize is there is free help available. This is not something that you have to go and navigate necessarily on your own.
That is correct. There's free and confidential help available You can go to localhelp.healthcare.gov to look up somebody near you, or, and I think one of the sort of best resources that healthcare.gov has is the 1-800 number. It's 1-800-318-2596. That's 1-800-318-2596. And you can call and talk to a trained enrollment specialist who can answer any questions you have or help you enroll on the phone.
Again, you started Get America Covered, one of the co-founders of the organization. How will you measure success here? Is it just solely on the numbers of people making sure that they sign up, or is it just basically getting out the information?
For Get America Covered, our goal is to provide, basic enrollment information and resources. And ultimately, the number that we care the most about is how many people enroll in coverage. It's going to be very difficult for Get America Covered, which is a tiny, tiny nonprofit, to impact enrollment at the scale that we'd like to. The federal government is uniquely positioned to do basic outreach about, when the deadline is and the availability of affordable coverage. And ultimately, I think it's really the job of the federal government to do that, not ours.
Joshua, we appreciate you being with us this morning and giving us some good information about getting covered. And again, November 1st through December 15th, we appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Joshua Peck is the co-founder of Get America Covered. You can find them online at getamericacovered.org. And make sure, again, you head to healthcare.gov. You can review 2019 plans and prices now ahead of November 1st. And then November 1st through December 15th is the enrollment period.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, we're looking for a flat open on Wall Street a little bit later on this morning. Dow futures, NASDAQ futures, S&P futures up just about 0.25%, a fraction to 0.25%. Let's get the latest on agriculture now. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. The weekly harvest progress reports came out yesterday afternoon, pretty much in line with what trade was expecting. As of Sunday night, 72% of the nation's soybean acres had been harvested. Trade was looking for 70%. And in the three I's, Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, 86% of the soybean crop in the bin, Iowa, 71%, Indiana, 88%. And a note from Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue yesterday, he said USDA is not planning to extend an up to $12 billion aid package for farmers into 2019. He made that statement on Monday to mitigate farmer losses due to the imposition of tariffs on American exports. And the secretary said farmers are very resilient and adept in making their planning and marketing decisions based on the current market. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
And just a couple of stories before we leave you this morning. Southwest Airlines and American Airlines both use the same new Boeing 737 involved in the fatal crash in Indonesia. As of September 30th, Southwest Airlines had about 23 of the 737 MAX in its fleet. American had 15. Southwest Airlines issued a statement today about the crash of the Lion Air flight, sending its condolences, along with saying that they're in touch with Boeing and are awaiting the findings of what may have gone wrong with the aircraft. American says the airline will be monitoring the investigation through both Boeing and crash investigations. Boeing says the 737 MAX is the fastest-selling plane in history and that they're ready to provide technical assistance to the accident investigation. The crash of the Lion Air aircraft killed 189 people. Busy day for earnings today. General Electric, one of the first companies out of the gate this morning, reporting third-quarter loss of $22.8 billion and has also cut its dividend. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk outlook for this Tuesday, October 30th, the Case-Shiller Home Price Index for August leads off today's economic reports. Housing industry analysts are forecasting a modest 0.1% increase. The Consumer Confidence Index for October also being released.
Experts see the index remaining sky high, but backing off slightly from last month's 18-year high. We'll also get a look at the Red Book today. The State Street Investor Confidence Index also due out. Farm prices as well. A busy day for earnings. Electronic Arts, ticker symbol EA, Under Armour, Aetna, Caesars Entertain Group, Tribune, Coca-Cola, Hyatt, Denny's, Fiat Chrysler, Cheesecake Factory, eBay, Herbalife, GE, Yelp, T-Mobile, Sony, and Apple has its event in Brooklyn today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, October the 30th.